Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to read a couple of passages out of the book of John to start the program today, and it's all in context of how do we impact our culture today.
That's
a big question out there on in many people's minds and on discussion, as far as we see that question being addressed in blog posts and, you know, just all over the place. So how do we as believers impact our culture? And I think we have to come to grips with this contrast between light and darkness. This kingdom of the world is the world of darkness. It's a kingdom of darkness. We were all once there. And how were our lives changed? Well, light came into this kingdom of darkness and shone on us in such a way that delivered to us the bad news that we were dead spiritually in need of life, but it also delivered the good news that there was a way out, and that way out is Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus entering into our world of darkness impacted us. It took us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ himself. Now we're in the light. So how do we impact the culture? Well, we take the light of Jesus into this world of darkness. That's how we impact the culture. And that's exactly what John talks about at the very beginning of his gospel message. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. He's talking about Jesus, and he, right here at the very beginning of this gospel message, equates Jesus with God. So Jesus Christ is God. And it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So who is the light of men? Jesus Christ himself. And he goes on to say, the light shines in the darkness. When Jesus entered our world some 2,000 years ago as that babe born in a manger, light entered into our darkness. He is the light of the world. But the darkness has not understood it. So what's the story of the gospel? It's an explanation of the light and what we can experience in the light of Jesus Christ. We experience his life. We experience his forgiveness. We experience all of these wonderful blessings in that light of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that light changed us. So what do you think is going to change the guy next door who is still in darkness, or the people that you work with who might still be in darkness, the folks down at City Hall protesting to try to get this or that who may still be in darkness? What's going to impact them? What's going to change them? The light of Jesus Christ, nothing else. Uh-huh. And until light shines in their darkness, they're still in darkness, no matter how organized they make that darkness, no matter how orderly that darkness becomes, it's still darkness. And if you're going to have eternal life, you have to be in light, and that's Jesus Christ himself. So how do we impact our culture? How do we make a difference in this world today? We let the light of Jesus Christ living inside of us shine brightly out there in the world. We don't fall back or shrink away or shrink back from darkness. We take the light to it. That's what we do. Now, the question is, do we have the guts to do it? Do we have the courage to take that step and let the light of Jesus shine into the lives of others?
Yeah, that's the question. This is Basic Gospel, and if you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps this particular issue, we'd love to hear from you. That toll-free number, of course, is 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Peter, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you? Could you explain irresistible grace to me?
Well, Irresistible Grace is a part of the acrostic TULIP. So it's the I in TULIP, Irresistible Grace. And it is a Calvinistic view of how salvation happens. So it's based on the fact that we're dead spiritually, that Jesus Christ gives us life, and that that's of his choosing, of his own doing. We have no part in that whatsoever. So God just comes and saves us by grace, and that's an irresistible reality or on our part. We can't do anything.
Is that biblical? Is it biblical or it's not?
You never see the word irresistible grace in the Bible. You see things like we're saved by grace through faith.
Right.
So that's how the Bible spells it out.
Could another word be used or not really? Like, I mean, when they say irresistible grace, I mean, so is it?
Well, Peter, here's the interesting thing. You know, Calvin wrote these institutes, and, you know, it's a quite thorough, systematic theology, and there's lots of good things. I haven't read the whole, institutes,
right.
But
I get a little lost.
Yeah.
This is where I get a little lost. Is
so
it by
Calvin,
our free will that we move to God, or is it by God, it's by the grace of God that calls us? Does he call us, or do we go to him?
Well, he calls us,
right,
and we respond. I mean, that's the way it is.
Well, you believe that he calls us first?
Yes,
before,
I think.
Because we're all dead in our sin. No man wants to do good, not one of us.
Right. So we're all, Peter, responders. God is the initiator.
Okay.
We're the responders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it's always worked. That's the pattern of Scripture. So Abraham was just kind of out doing his thing, and God shows up, right? Abraham would have never done anything. He would have never believed God apart from God making himself known. We would never believe God or respond by faith to God apart from God making himself known through Jesus. So God initiates, we respond.
Right. We do have to make the forward call. We have to go. It's like a paradox to me. Like we do have to. We are making the move, but yet, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like it's weird. Are you getting me?
I'm getting you, Peter. That's why this is one of the most.
We do have to physically, you know, it's like, is that called a paradox? I don't know.
Well, it's a topic that's been so hotly debated through the years because of this very thing.
Right.
Our minds are finite. They're limited.
Right.
So the way we describe what happens is from a human perspective. All that happens on God's side of that equation, we can only get sketchy details through what the Word of God reveals. So God does call, God does reach out, God does initiate. He initiates everything in Christ, and that's such a powerful message. It can move us to that point of faith in Jesus. So the truth of Ephesians 2:8-9 becomes fulfilled in us. He saves us by grace through faith. That's God's plan, not only for salvation, but we firmly believe here at Basic Gospel that that's his plan for experiencing the Christian life, by grace through faith. So God has filled us with his presence, He is living inside of us, so he is constantly initiating to us. And our response to that is to say, Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to step out. If you want me to extend forgiveness, I'm going to step out and allow that forgiveness to flow through me into the life of this other person. So that's how it works, by grace through faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Does that make sense
to you,
Peter? Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks. 844-322-2742. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. If you've got something to talk about, we'd love to discuss it with you. So give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Harrisburg, Oregon, and talk with Mike, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. Just something you mentioned about Calvinism here, just a few sentences back. And ever since I became a Christian, I hear about this Calvinism, this Calvin said that. And as I study my Bible, I don't see his name in there, but I do see Holy Spirit. And he has taught me everything, and Calvin hasn't taught me anything. So why do they insist on giving credit to him?
Well, Mike, you bring up one fine point. I mean, that is just excellent insight on your part.
Yes.
Calvin was just a you know, bigger than life figure that entered the scene right at the time of the Protestant Reformation, and a lot of what he put into practice, into writing, became kind of standard for many generations to follow. Many theologians have studied Calvin, the word tulip or the acrostic tulip. Calvin never came up with that. You don't see any of that in any of his writings. As a matter of fact, it was reformers in Holland that came up with that. And tulip is the flower there. And so they said, let's come up with an acrostic that will help explain these beliefs. But, Mike, you're 100% right. If we're going to know anything about Jesus, if we're going to know anything about this life that he has imparted to us, that he lives through us, that information has to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. He is
Amen.
Our teacher. And, Mike, that would be the same about us. So we would say, hey, we're here on radio. We're delivering information to you that we have come to know through our study of the Bible, through our understanding of what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. But for anything that we say to become real to you, if it's true and right as far as the Word of God is concerned, the Holy Spirit has to ultimately teach you that truth. Otherwise, you're just going to believe something because we believe it, or you're just going to believe something because Calvin believed it, or because somebody else believed it. And that's not what God wants for us. That's not his desire for us. He wants to teach us personally. And when he teaches us, we can know that the lesson has been learned and is in such a way that it's being lived out in day-to-day life.
Amen. Thank you for your answer and for taking my call. That sounds right on, too.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for, like I said, bringing up an excellent, excellent point.
Yes.
And one we all need to pay attention to. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. God bless.
Hey, God bless you, too. Thank you. Well, let's go to David in Brooklyn, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, David.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. My question is this. I've been having some discussions with some church members, and they insist that God has nothing to do with pain and suffering, that it's specifically from Satan. And while I agree God is loving, I still believe that he's sovereign, and if we do have pain and suffering, he has a hand in it for his reason, all to his glory. But I can't give that power specifically to Satan because I think it increases his power and diminishes God's power. So I'm a little confused there.
Okay, David, and again, I think you bring up an excellent point as well. God is sovereign and God is all-powerful, and Satan is just like a bug on a windshield as far as God is concerned. So I think we're all on the same page as far as that. As far as that goes. So, you know, there's this question, who is the author of these horrible and terrible things in our lives? Is God actively bringing those things about, or has he allowed the world system that is entrenched in sin to carry out its ways and consequences, so to speak? And will God work in the midst of that? So again, today's program are deep thoughts. those questions, those imponderables, those things that, we try to come up with answers. And what we do know is this: God is not the author of evil. God never tempts us with sin. God never tempts us with evil. only the good things that we have come from God. They're from His hand. We can't attribute any of that to any other source than God Himself. As far as the difficult circumstances are concerned that come into our lives, sometimes by our own choosing, sometimes by the choosing of others, sometimes things that are just totally out of our control. To those who know God through faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us this promise that He will work all things together for the good. We see in Paul's writings, in Peter's writings, in James' writings, and in Jesus' very words, that in this world we are going to experience trouble. We're going to experience trials and tribulations. That's just part and parcel of being human in this world in which we live. Do we have hope in the midst of that? And the answer to that is yes, we do, and that hope is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So Satan may be doing all kinds of things out there to thwart God's plan, but God's plan can never be thwarted. God will do what God wants to do. Why? Because He is sovereign, and He genuinely loves us, and He has promised to work all things together for good.
But do you believe that, I mean, a person could glorify God through suffering? I mean, not that we want to suffer, but, you know, sometimes you have to be broken. You know, if you live life and everything is always going so well, it's very easy to say, yeah, I believe in God and Jesus. But when you're really tested and you come out, you know, refined and you prove that you still have your faith, I think sometimes God tests us like that, that He can give us illness. I mean, He doesn't have to depend on Satan to make us sick or to kill us. I mean, He is in control that way.
Well, what I would say to that, David, is there's enough trouble in the world. It's going to come to us. You know, and so we're just naturally going to be tested. And what that test is for us to see that our faith is truly genuine. Do we really believe what we say? Or are we just giving lip service to this gospel message? Do I really believe that my identity is secure in Christ? Well, then why am I letting the opinions of the world just knock me around like I'm a pinball in a pinball machine? Why can't I stand on solid ground? Why can't I have a firm foundation? I say that God has called me a child of God, that I have a new identity. Yet when trials and tribulations come, man, I just freak out. So I think we learn in our reactions just how genuine our faith is, just how deep it is. And I think when it comes out at the other side refined, we we're trusting the Lord even more than when the circumstance happened, that's when we know that this new life that we have in Jesus is really there. And that's to the glory of God. Richard?
Now, one of the things you've got to pay attention to, and this is one of those English translation problems, you see in the New Testament words like tempt or trial or test, and you see them applied both to God in towards us and Satan towards us. Well, when they're talking about trials and temptations in the context of God, those words always mean that what God is doing is revealing something that's already true about us. We're His children. We have the Holy Spirit living within, and we can respond differently because of who we are. When Satan or when people are testing us and trying us, it's always from the context of tearing us down and trying to destroy us. And so it's one way that the Greeks got it very precise, and we don't have it as precisely as that in English, but it's absolutely true. Whenever God is testing us, it's because He's already made something true about us, declared it to be true, and He just wants to reveal that in us.
That's an interesting point. All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your show. I appreciate you guys, and God bless you, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Well, thank you, David.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, David.
Yeah, Merry Christmas indeed.
Yeah.
And we can say that.
We can say that.
You know, we don't
I'm just
have to
saying.
Be, we don't have to be bound by the political correctness out there. We
That's
can
right.
say Merry Christmas, and by golly, we're going to say it.
I'm also going to say 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you. Just recently, a letter went out to many of our listener supporters around the theme, Meet the Author. Bob, for those that didn't get the letter, fill us in on what that's about.
Well, Meet the Author is a one-year devotional that we are offering to anyone that contributes to Basic Gospel this particular month. It's, you know, if you look at the New Testament, there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. That correlates to one chapter a day, Monday through Friday. If you just read one chapter a day, starting at the 1st of January, and only did it through the week, Monday through Friday, by the end of the year, you would have read the entire New Testament. So we've designed a devotional around that reading plan. So five chapters a week for 52 weeks. We've added some devotional commentary to this, and then given you some ways to go into the Word, ask some questions, make some observations, and come out with some things that the Holy Spirit has taught you. We're very excited about this. You know, when you go into the Word of God, your sole reason for doing so is to meet the author,
Yes. Is
to get to know Jesus Christ. There's lots of reasons to read, but that trumps them all. That's the real reason we go into the Word of God. We want to experience eternal life. Well, Jesus defined eternal life this way, that they know God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, the Son. So what is eternal life? It's knowing God. Well, where else are we going to go to know Him, to find out about Him, to discover all the wonders of who He is? That's the Word of God. So that's what this is all about. It's a available to any listener for a gift of any amount to help us get the Word out.
Yes.
How do we impact our culture? By getting the light of the gospel out into this world of darkness, getting the Word out. So we need your help to do that through this radio broadcast, through the various resources that we have, through our internet outreach, through our social media channels. We need your help to get the Word out. The world needs your help
because they're
in darkness. They need the light of Jesus Christ. So stand with us by making a gift to Basic Gospel this month. And for our way of saying thank you, we're going to put this wonderful devotional in your hands called Meet the Author.
And there's a prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Just click Donate today, and that will take care of business.
Yes, indeed. Let's go quickly to Dallas, Texas, to Gloria, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. What's on your mind today?
Y'all are doing a great job, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show me how to help, because you're doing a wonderful job. Mm. Now, I'm having trouble because I don't know who Jonas is, and I don't know who Elias is. Is that too broad a question?
Well, Jonah was a guy.
I know Jonah.
Okay.
But I was reading, and I saw J-O-N-A-S.
Well, I don't know about that. We're almost out of time, Gloria. Let me put you on hold, and we can get some information, and we'll talk to you after the broadcast, okay?
What about Elias?
That's Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah and Elish.
Elias, quite often.
Elias.
Especially if you see it in the King James, I believe.
Yeah, and Jonas may be the same thing.
It might be the same kind of thing.
Okay,
Elias have to look
who,
it up.
Elias is who?
Elijah, the prophet Elijah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to tell that man that called about the pain in the world, the last caller, and how he thinks, well, something about Satan.
Yeah.
Well, I fell last night, and I thought I broke my foot and my hip, and my friend told me it was Satan, and I said, no. I said, what's important is my soul. What happens to my body is not as important as my spirit. And this morning when I got up, I could walk. I told the Lord, thank you, because I could do this and I can do that and what He's done for me.
Well, praise the Lord for that, Gloria.
We are out of time.
You hang on, okay? We're going to send you something. You hang on.
For Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.